Deuteronomy chapter 28. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for your word. God, we recognize that you didn't have to bless us with such clarity from your word. But Lord, you're so gracious to us. Thank you, Lord. Please, God, give us ears to hear and eyes to see. God, please do that miracle of helping a dull-minded people understand your word. And that even more of a miracle, God, do that glorious miracle of helping us to feel the weight of the truths that are here. God, I pray, Lord, that the dread of the curse, God, that it would fall on every soul in this room. And very quickly behind that, Lord, the glory of Christ. Help us, Lord, please, as we dwell, as we meditate in this passage of Scripture. Thank you for your word. In Jesus' name, amen. There's a theme that runs through the entire Bible from Genesis to Revelation of cursing and blessing. Blessing and cursing. Genesis chapter 1, you saw it. God created man in his own image and he blessed them. He blessed them. He said to them, be fruitful and multiply. Not very long after that, Genesis chapter 3, you see those same people that he has blessed entered into a curse. Cursed be the ground, cursed be you. So here's this blessing and here's this curse in Genesis, the very beginning of the book of the Bible in Genesis. And it's connected to, the curse is connected to being removed from access to the tree of life. And you got that in your mind, then go read the last chapter of the Bible, Revelation 22. And you got the same idea that those who come by the blood of Christ are blessed and have access to that tree of life. And then there are those that are cursed and are removed from the tree of life forever. So beginning to end, so it's like bookends, Genesis 1 through 3, Revelation 22. And there's things all in between from the Psalms. Literally, the Psalms start with Psalm 1, blessed is the man. The prophets talk like this. Jeremiah 17, he says, cursed is the man that trusts in man and makes flesh his strength, but blessed is the man whose trust is in the Lord, whose hope is in the Lord. We see this all over God's word, this blessing and cursing. Jesus' most famous sermon in the Sermon on the Mount, you see it in Luke's version of it in Luke 6, where he says, blessed are those who are poor in spirit. Bless, bless, bless. And then it follows that with woe to you, woe to you. Curse, curse, curse. And of course, a lot of us are studying, in the Bible studies, we're studying Galatians chapter 3, where it's all about the blessing of Abraham. The blessing of Abraham, which is the promise of the book of Genesis, and the curse of the law. So from Genesis to Revelation, we see this theme of blessing and cursing. And here we are in Deuteronomy. And we've already seen it several times. Let me read this to you. Deuteronomy chapter 11. I wonder if you remember this. Deuteronomy 11 verse 26 says this. See, I'm setting before you today a blessing and a curse. There it is. I'm setting before you a blessing and a curse. The blessing, if you obey the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you today, and the curse, if you do not obey the commandments of the Lord your God, but turn aside from the way that I'm commanding you today to go after other gods that you've not known. So here's a blessing for obedience and a curse for disobedience. Let me keep reading. And when the Lord your God brings you into the land that you're entering to take possession of, remember that they're headed to this land, you shall set the blessing on Mount Gerizim and the curse on Mount Ebal. Are they not beyond the Jordan? So it says, when you get there, set the blessing on this mountain and the curse on this mountain. Now, last week, We were in Deuteronomy chapter 27, and you remember some of that was laid out for us. This amazing ceremony where half the tribes of Israel own Mount Ebal and half the tribes of Israel own Mount Gerizim, and the Levites are in the valley and they're calling out these blessings and cursings, we believe, and the people from those mountains are screaming out, amen. We read that in Deuteronomy 27, just a whole list of cursed be the one that, and the people shout, amen, from Mount Ebal. Again, cursed be the one that, and he shouts that out again, amen. And that last one was, cursed is the one that doesn't abide by all these words that I command you today. And they scream out, amen. So there's blessing and there's cursing. You can go read Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 19, same thing. I set before you today blessing and cursing. And where we're at this morning is Deuteronomy chapter 28. So with this theme of blessing and cursing in mind, Deuteronomy 28, what we see here is probably the clearest descriptions of the blessings that are promised for Israel in their obedience and the curses that are promised for Israel in their disobedience. The clearest descriptions of it is found here in Deuteronomy chapter 28. And it's glorious on the one hand, and it's absolutely horrific on the other hand. So I want us to listen to this. So we're going to read verses 1 through 14. And you need to try to grasp how glorious and how desirable these blessings would have been as it went into the people of Israel's ears. Listen to this. Chapter 28, verse 1 through 14. And if you faithfully obey the voice of the Lord your God, being careful to do all his commandments that I command you today, the Lord your God will set you high above all the nations of the earth. And all these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you if you obey the voice of the Lord your God. Blessed shall you be in the city. Blessed shall you be in the field. Blessed shall be the fruit of your womb and the fruit of your ground and the fruit of your cattle, the increase of your herds and the young of your flock. Blessed shall be your basket and your kneading bowl. Blessed shall you be when you come in, and blessed shall you be when you go out. The Lord will cause your enemies who rise against you to be defeated before you. They shall come out against you one way and flee before you seven ways. The Lord will command the blessing on you in your barns and in all that you undertake. And he will bless you in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. The Lord will establish you as a people holy to himself, as he has sworn to you, if you keep the commandments of the Lord your God and walk in his ways. And all the peoples of the earth shall see that you are called by the name of the Lord, and they shall be afraid of you. And the Lord will make you abound in prosperity, in the fruit of your womb, and in the fruit of your livestock, and the fruit of your ground, within the land that the Lord swore to your fathers to give to you. The Lord will open to you his good treasury, the heavens, to give the rain to your land in its season and to bless all the work of your hands. And you shall lend to many nations, but you shall not borrow. And the Lord will make you the head and not the tail. And you shall only go up and not down if you obey the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you today, being careful to do them. And if you do not turn aside from any of the words that I command you today to the right hand or to the left to go after other gods to serve them. Let me try to see if I can summarize. Just again, I want you to grasp the glory, the beauty, how much they would desire blessings like this. This is almost over the top stuff. Let me try to summarize it. Verse 1 says, you'll lead the whole world. That's a blessing. You'll lead the whole world. Verse 2 says, you won't merely be blessed, but you will be overcome. You will be overwhelmed with blessing. Verse 3 and 4 says, you'll be blessed in your cities, in the country, in your families, in your gardens, and in your farms. Everything's blessed. Everything. Verse 5, you'll be blessed in your business. You'll be blessed in your storehouses. It even mentions here, in your kneading bowl. Now that's serious. You'll even be blessed in your kneading bowl. Verse 6, you'll be blessed when you come in, when you go out. Verse 7, you'll be invincible. You'll be invincible. You'll have victory in all battles. Your enemies will flee from you. It's a blessing. Verse 8, there's a phrase, in all that you undertake. What? You'll be blessed in all that you undertake. Verse 8, verse 9, you'll be blessed in your holiness. Verse 10, you'll be respected by all the nations, not just rule them, not just be at the head of them, but you'll be respected by all nations. Verse 11, prosperity. You'll be blessed with prosperity in your land, your animals, your children. You're going to be blessed. Verse 12, listen to this phrase. I love it. The Lord will open to you His good treasury. Man, what a phrase. What a blessing. The Lord will open to you His good treasury. Verse 12 says, all the work of your hands. He'll bless all the work of your hands. You'll never be in debt. You'll always be the lender. You'll be the head, not the tail. Always going up. Never, never going down. And this is the blessing. Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 1 through 14. Now, why so glorious? Why such an over-the-top blessing mentioned here for the people of Israel if they obey? I believe this is an earthly picture that's meant to point to a heavenly reality. How glorious will the blessings be for God's people? How glorious will the blessings poured out on God's people be? What do we know from the rest of the Bible? Ephesians 1 says that the people of God are blessed with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. And it goes on to mention chosen by God, redeemed by God, forgiven of your sins, adopted, justified. 2 Corinthians 2:9 says, listen to it, no eye has seen, nor ear has heard, nor has it even entered into the heart of a man what God has prepared for those who love Him. And I believe the over-the-top blessings that we just read about, promised to the people of Israel if they obey, it's meant to draw our attention to, listen to me, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, it hasn't even entered into your heart what God's prepared for those who love Him. Psalm 16:11 says, in His presence, listen to this blessing, fullness of joy. You've had joy. You've never had fullness of joy. In His presence is fullness of joy. At His right hand, pleasures forevermore. Now, I believe Deuteronomy 28 reminds us of an old covenant problem and a new covenant solution. An old covenant problem in a new covenant solution. And here's what I mean. According to Deuteronomy 28, there's an old covenant problem here, and it's this. Who gets to experience these blessings? According to Deuteronomy 28, verse 1 through 14, here's the problem. Who gets to experience these blessings? Now notice the bookends. We just read verse 1 through 14. When verse 1, it says, if you faithfully obey. So the blessings are connected to obedience to God. Verse 13 says the same thing. And the Lord your God will make you head, not the tail. You should go up and not down if you obey the commandments. So blessing is connected to obedience. You say, why is that a problem? Why is that an old covenant problem? Well, you got to read it carefully. Listen carefully to what it says. What kind of obedience is required to obtain this blessing? Half obedience? Majority obedience? How about absolute, complete obedience connected to the blessing? Listen to the words in verse 1. It says, faithfully obey. It says, be careful to do all His commandments. Verse 14, if you do not turn aside from any of the words that I command you today. Hence the problem. What nation can do this? What nation can step up before the standard of God's righteous law and walk away blessed? Israel? We know they didn't. What about America? We know we haven't. Or make it more personal. What human on the planet, in all of history up till today, what human can step up before the standard of God's righteous law and win blessing, obtain blessing from God, according to Deuteronomy chapter 28? Who can do it? Adam? No, he didn't do it. Noah? No, he didn't do it either. What about Abraham? What about Samson? What about David? Who in the world can step up to this standard, this righteousness, obey all of God's law, don't disobey any of His commandments? Who can step up before that and walk away blessed? Can you? Can anybody hear? Which brings us to the new covenant solution. The scripture says that God became flesh and dwelt among us. There is one. There is one and only one. God Almighty, who looks at a people that He intends to save, and He takes on human flesh. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Jesus and Jesus alone can step up to the standard of God's law and obtain blessing. Jesus and Jesus alone has earned the eternal blessing. When you start in the New Testament, when you start this, you know, this new covenant solution, you start in the New Testament, Matthew chapter 1, it starts with a genealogy. This is why. You read through that genealogy, this is how it starts. You know, Abraham had a son named, and you read through that list, and none are worthy of the blessing. None are worthy of the blessing. And then you get to the Christ who was born. Christ Jesus, the only one worthy, the righteous one, who's earned the blessing. You see it in Matthew chapter 1. You see it in Matthew chapter 2, where it speaks about the miraculous birth of Christ. That He wasn't born like me and you, born of a virgin, born of the Holy Spirit, not born into sin. The only one that's born into this world and ready to earn that blessing. You see it in Matthew chapter 3, where John the Baptist preaches and baptizes Jesus. That's my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. He's the only one worthy of the blessing. John preached it. You see it in Matthew chapter 4. It keeps going. Matthew chapter 4, where He's being tempted in the wilderness. And listen, every other person that Satan had tempted fell to the temptation, unworthy of the blessing, only worthy of cursing. And Christ stands before the temptation, perfectly clean and righteous and worthy of the blessing. And then in Matthew chapter 5, what do we see? The first thing that He says when we see Him preaching. What do we see in Matthew chapter 5 in the Sermon on the Mount? It says, He opened His mouth and taught them, saying, blessed are the... And you'll notice as you read His description of the blessed people of God are not those that are good, not those that have perfectly obeyed the commandments like Deuteronomy 28. Only Jesus has done that. His description of the blessed ones are those who are poor in spirit. They know their own spiritual poverty, and they don't rely on themselves to be blessed by God, but they rely on the one who has come to save them, Christ Jesus their Lord. It's a glorious New Testament solution. Now we need to look at the curses. Now verses 15 through 68 in Deuteronomy 28. So hear me out on that. This is a long passage. Verses 15 through 68 is a description of the curse. And it's significantly longer than what we just read about the blessings. And that's meant to teach us something. It's meant to teach us something. I want to encourage you as we read through this, don't zone out in a longer reading of God's Word. We're going to read every word of it together. Don't zone out. It's really, really important that you feel the weight of how horrific this curse is. You understand that what we're about to read, there's things that we're going to read that are going to be hard to stomach. There's things that we're going to read that are going to make you want to go outside and throw up. You'll feel tempted to cover your children's ears so they won't have nightmares. That's the kind of stuff we're about to read in these curses. I want to encourage you, it's a longer reading, but you need to feel the weight. You need to not just understand it, you need to feel the weight of the horrific nature of these curses. So please lean in as we read this long passage, verse 15 through 68. Hear the curses. But if you will not obey the voice of the Lord your God, or be careful to do all his commandments and his statutes that I command you today, then all these curses shall come upon you and overtake you. Cursed shall you be in the city. Cursed shall you be in the field. Cursed shall be your basket and your kneading bowl. Cursed shall be the fruit of your womb and the fruit of your ground, the increase of your herds and the young of your flock. Cursed shall you be when you come in. Cursed shall you be when you go out. The Lord will send on you curses, confusion, and frustration in all that you undertake to do, until you are destroyed and perish quickly on account of the evil of your deeds, because you have forsaken me. The Lord will make the pestilence stick to you until he has consumed you off the land that you're entering to take possession of it. The Lord will strike you with wasting disease and with fever and inflammation and fiery heat and with drought and with blight and with mildew. They shall pursue you until you perish. And the heavens over your head shall be bronze, and the earth under you shall be iron. The Lord will make the rain of the land powder from heaven. From heaven, dust shall come down on you until you are destroyed. The Lord will cause you to be defeated before your enemies. You shall go out one way against them and flee seven ways before them. You shall be a horror to all the kingdoms of the earth. And your dead body shall be food for all the birds of the air and the beasts of the earth, and there shall be no one to frighten them away. The Lord will strike you with the boils of Egypt and with tumors and scabs and itch of which you cannot be healed. The Lord will strike you with madness and blindness and confusion of mind, and you shall grope at noonday as the blind grope in the darkness, and you shall not prosper in your ways. You shall be only oppressed and robbed continually. There shall be no one to help you. You shall betroth a wife, but another man shall ravish her. You shall build a house, but you shall not dwell in it. You shall plant a vineyard and not enjoy its fruit. Your ox shall be slaughtered before your eyes, but you shall not eat any of it. Your donkey shall be seized before your face, but shall not be restored to you. Your sheep shall be given to your enemies, but there shall be no one to help you. Your sons and your daughters shall be given to another people while your eyes look on and fail with longing for them all day long, but you shall be helpless. A nation that you've not known shall eat up the fruit of your ground and all your labors, and you shall be only oppressed and crushed continually, so that you're driven mad by the sights that your eyes see. The Lord will strike you on the knees and on the legs with grievous boils of which you cannot be healed, from the sole of your foot to the crown of your head. The Lord will bring you and your king, whom you set over you, to a nation that neither you nor your fathers have known. And there you shall serve other gods of wood and stone. You shall become a horror, a proverb and a byword among all the peoples where the Lord will lead you away. You shall carry much seed into the field and shall gather in little, for the locust shall consume it. You shall plant vineyards and dress them, but you shall neither drink of the wine nor gather the grapes, for the worms shall eat them. You shall have olive trees throughout all your territory, but you shall not anoint yourself with the oil, for the olives shall drop off. You shall father sons and daughters, but they will not be yours, for they shall go into captivity. The cricket shall possess all your trees and the fruit of your ground. The sojourner who is among you shall rise higher and higher above you, and you shall come down lower and lower. He shall lend to you, and you shall not lend to him. He shall be the head, and you shall be the tail. When verse 45, all these curses shall come upon you and pursue you and overtake you till you are destroyed, because you did not obey the voice of the Lord your God to keep his commandments and his statutes that he commanded you. They shall be a sign and a wonder against you and your offspring forever, because you did not serve the Lord your God with joyfulness and gladness of heart because of the abundance of all things. Therefore you shall serve your enemies whom the Lord will send against you in hunger and thirst, in nakedness and lacking everything. And he will put a yoke of iron on your neck until he has destroyed you. The Lord will bring a nation against you from afar, from the end of the earth, swooping down like the eagle, a nation whose language you don't understand. A hard-faced nation who shall not respect the old or show mercy to the young. It shall eat the offspring of your cattle and the fruit of your ground until you are destroyed. It also shall leave you grain. It also shall not leave you grain, wine, or oil, the increase of your herds, or the young of your flock until they have caused you to perish. They shall besiege you in all your towns until your high and fortified walls in which you trusted come down throughout all your land. And they shall besiege you in all your towns throughout all the land which the Lord your God has given you. And you shall eat the fruit of your womb, the flesh of your sons and daughters, whom the Lord your God has given you, in the siege and in the distress with which your enemies shall distress you. The man who is the most tender and refined among you will begrudge food to his brother, to the wife that he embraces, and to the last of the children whom he has left, so that he will not give to any of them any of the flesh of his children whom he is eating, because he has nothing else left. In the siege and in the distress with which your enemy shall distress you in all your towns. The most tender and refined woman among you, who shall not venture to set the sole of her foot on the ground because she's so delicate and tender, will begrudge to the husband she embraces and to her son and to her daughter her afterbirth that comes out from between her feet and her children whom she bears, because lacking everything, she will eat them secretly. In the siege and in the distress with which your enemy shall distress you in all your towns. If you are not careful to do all the words of this law that are written in this book, that you may fear this glorious and awesome name, the Lord your God, then the Lord will bring on you and your offspring extraordinary afflictions severe and lasting, and sickness grievous and lasting. And he will bring upon you again all the diseases of Egypt from which you were afraid, and they shall cling to you. Every sickness also and every affliction that is not recorded in the book of this law, the Lord will bring upon you until you are destroyed. Whereas you were as numerous as the stars of heaven, you shall be left few in number, because you did not obey the voice of the Lord your God. And as the Lord took delight in doing you good and multiplying you, so the Lord will take delight in bringing ruin upon you and destroying you, and you shall be plucked off the land that you're entering to take possession of it. And the Lord will scatter you among all peoples from one end of the earth to the other. And there you shall serve other gods of wood and stone, which neither you nor your fathers have known. And among these nations you shall find no respite. And there shall be no resting place for the sole of your foot. But the Lord will give you there a trembling heart, failing eyes, and a languishing soul. Your life shall hang in doubt before you. Night and day you shall be in dread and have no assurance of life. In the morning you shall say, if only it were evening. And at evening you'll say, if only it were morning. Because of the dread that your heart shall feel and the sights that your eyes shall see. And the Lord will bring you back in ships to Egypt, a journey that I promised that you should never make again. And there you shall offer yourselves to sail for your enemies, to your enemies, as male and female slaves. But there will be no buyers. I know sometimes it's difficult to stay focused there in a long passage of scripture like that. But I wonder if you saw it as we read through that. Did you feel the weight of how horrible this is. This is meant to feel over the top to you. What am I reading right now? This is horrific curses. You're supposed to feel that when you read it. Let me try to just highlight and summarize a few things that maybe will help you in case you missed it. He mentions horrible sicknesses here, being poured out in curses on his people that disobey. Sicknesses like wasting disease, it says. It says the boils of Egypt, tumors, scabs, and an itch of which you will not be healed. It says extraordinary afflictions, grievous and lasting. The diseases of Egypt poured out on you. It goes on to mention there that no one will care even for your dead body. Animals and birds will eat your dead body, and nobody will even shoo them away. There's this phrase, the Lord will strike you with madness. You should go underline every time it says, the Lord will strike you, the Lord will strike you, the Lord will strike you. Well, here it's saying he'll strike you with madness. You'll lose your mind. You'll move towards insanity. You used to think soundly, not anymore. It mentions deep internal distress. I mean, I don't know how else to describe it better than what he says here. Listen to this deep internal distress. You'll have a trembling heart, failing eyes, and a languishing soul. Your life is going to hang in doubt before you. Night and day, you'll have no assurance of life. In the morning, you'll say, I wish it was evening. In the evening, you'll say, I wish it was morning, because of the dread that you feel in your soul. So not just physical curse and external pain, but on the inside, a feeling of distress, deep, deep distress in your soul. This is part of the curse. He mentions slavery here. A kind of slavery so bad that you want to sell yourself to the enemies, and there'll be no one to buy you. Heart-wrenching family issues. Maybe this one gets me more than any. Listen to verse 30. You shall betroth the wife, but another man shall ravish her. Oh, it just hurts in your gut. About the children, verse 32. This one hurts. Your sons and your daughters will be given to another people while your eyes look on. You're watching them being taken into slavery. Your kids. Your sons and daughters will be given to another people while your eyes look on and fail with longing for them all day long. But you shall be helpless. Nothing you can do about it. Children taken away. Nothing you can do about it. Sold into slavery. And lastly, maybe some would argue, maybe this is the most unimaginable thing, as it describes the immorality and the cannibalism that it describes at the end. Did you catch that? Verse 53 says it like this. And you shall eat the fruit of your womb, the flesh of your sons and daughters, whom the Lord your God has given you. He's talking about a siege that's going to happen where people are going to, they're going to siege the cities of Israel, the cities and even the city of Jerusalem, as we know, eventually happen. And they're going to surround that city, allow no food in, and there's going to be famine and starvation to the point where it says here, he mentions the siege in that paragraph. He says, you're going to eat your own children. I mean, this description, as you keep reading, it says the man who is the most tender and the most refined among you. Imagine that. This is a part of the curse, that the most tender and the most refined man among them is going to look up and be hiding food from his sons and his daughter and his wife. And what's that food that he's hiding? The flesh of his own children. A horrible picture. And it says the same thing. It repeats it about the women. The most tender and refined woman among you. She wouldn't even venture to set the sole of her foot on the ground because she's so delicate and she's so tender. And yet she's going to begrudge food to the husband she embraces. She's not going to give it to her sons, her living daughters. And what is it that she's holding back? What is it that she's eating in secret? Her own children. I mean, this is horrible stuff. You almost hate to
even talk about it and mention it, but this is horrible stuff, and it's here on purpose. Now, just to take a little bit of a step further, if you can, this Jewish nation, these are promises of blessing for obedience to the Jewish nation. These are promises of curses on disobedience to the Jewish nation. And listen, the Jewish nation experienced these curses throughout their history, and it all came to a head in 70 AD. We saw in the Olivet Discourse, when we came through the book of Matthew together, as Jesus spoke about that coming judgment on Jerusalem, when they would be sieged, and all this final judgment would come down on their head. These are the judgments of Deuteronomy chapter 28 that come down on the people of Israel in 70 AD. And one place where we can get a little glimpse into it is a historian named Josephus. He actually wrote about the siege of Jerusalem that happened. And in that detail, I want to read just a piece of this. And again, I believe it's just helpful. We don't need to sanitize this. You need to understand how terrible these things are, how horrific these curses were. And maybe Josephus describing some of this will help it, again, just continue to come to a reality. Listen to what Josephus said. Without mercy, they set fire to the houses. This is after they had sieged this city of Jerusalem. Without mercy, they set fire to the houses where the Jews fled. They burnt every soul in them, laid waste to a great many. And when they came to the houses to plunder them, they found in them entire families of dead men and the upper rooms full of dead corpses. That is such as died by famine. Can you imagine the city siege? You can't get any food in month after month after month, and you just die of starvation. And it's such a horrible scene that it says here, they then stood in horror at this sight and went out without touching anything. The rest of the multitude that were above 17 years old, he put them into bonds and sent them to the Egyptian mines. That sound familiar from Deuteronomy 28? Those that were under 17 years of age were sold for slaves. Does that sound familiar? Deuteronomy 28. And then he gives this account. You remember I just, and again, you hate to mention it, but the delicate and the tender woman that eventually eats her own children. And this is a part of the horrific nature of this curse. Remember we read about that in Deuteronomy 28? Listen to what Josephus records here. Mary, daughter of Eleazar, who had previously fled to Jerusalem, distinguished in family and fortune, her property, treasures, and food had been plundered by the Jewish defenders of the city during the siege. When the Romans are besieging the city, those that were then, someone were stealing food from people, taking it away from them. Famine was eating her heart out, and rage was consuming her still faster. Maddened by hunger, that word sound familiar? Maddened by hunger, she took the infant at her breast and said to him, "Poor little mite, in war, famine, and civil strife, why should I keep you alive? With the Romans, there's only slavery. Famine is forestalling slavery. The partisans are crueler than either one. Come, you must be food for me." And in defiance of all natural feelings, she killed her son, then roasted him and ate one half, hiding the rest. Almost immediately, the rebels appeared, sniffing the unholy smell, and threatened to kill her on the spot unless she revealed what she had prepared. As she covered what was left of the child, she offered them a share. Then they left her in horror. I don't want to spend time on that any longer. We meditate on these curses in Deuteronomy 28 and how horrible it is. And we remind ourselves through the writings of Josephus here of how horrific, how terrible this curse of God on these people was. Why? Maybe you should ask the question, why such a horrific curse? Why a curse that seems so over the top? So terrible. I don't even want to read it. It's so terrible. Why a curse like this? This is an earthly picture, hear me out, this is an earthly picture of a spiritual reality. Understand this. To be cursed at its root is to be abandoned by God, to be condemned by God. But when I say that, that because of our sin, we deserve to be abandoned by God, to be cursed by God. Do you feel the weight of what that means? Well, these descriptions in Deuteronomy 28 are meant to illustrate it for us. The curse of Deuteronomy 28 is ultimately meant to draw our attention to the eternal abandonment and condemnation of hell. Do you know and understand the horrors of hell? That eternal curse. Now, I'm not making this up. You remember Matthew chapter 25? And it gives you that little picture Jesus is teaching about the coming judgment. The separation of the sheep and the goats. Remember that little passage about the judgment's coming and he's going to separate them out into two groups, the sheep and the goats? Listen to this in that passage. Matthew 25 verse 34 says, "The king will say to those on his right, 'Come, you blessed.'" Blessed, the blessed ones. "Come, you blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom." What's he going to say to those on his left? Then he'll say to those on his left, "Depart from me, you cursed into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels." This coming of blessing and cursing is not just for Israel, but for the entire world that's going to stand in judgment before the one and only holy God. And the whole world will be divided up into two groups, the blessed and the cursed. And it says right here, the cursed will suffer under, listen to it, eternal fire. Eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. These horrific curses of Deuteronomy 28, as terrible as they are merely shadows. Merely shadows. What did you feel? When I read that stuff, did you get uncomfortable? Were you ready for me to be done with it? And the discomfort, the feeling of, this is horrible, this makes me want to throw up, that's a mere shadow. It's a mere shadow of the eternal curse in hell. In Deuteronomy chapter 28, there's actually an end to suffering. When you breathe your last breath and you die, it's an end to suffering. But in the eternal curse in hell, there is no end. One of the most disturbing things that can ever run across a human mind is the eternality of hell. That it's suffering, that it's pain, that it goes on and it goes on and it goes on, and there's no end in sight. And 10,000 years in, you look back and you're no closer to the end than when you started. It's a horrific reality of hell. And these curses in Deuteronomy 28 should make us think about it. At least think about it. Now, who will come under such a curse? What kind of people would come under such a curse? Well, you remember Deuteronomy 27, the very last verse says, "Cursed be anyone who does not confirm the words of this law by doing them." Cursed be anyone who doesn't do this law. And in Galatians 3:10, Paul quotes this verse, and he says, "Cursed are all of those who rely on the works of the law. For it's written," and he quotes this verse, "cursed is anyone who does not obey all these laws to do them." You rely on the works of the law, you're just going to be a good person. I'm just going to step up before God's law and do the best that I can. You'll take this curse forever, and it's worse than Deuteronomy 28. The way it started in the curses, Deuteronomy 28 verse 15 says, "But if you will not obey the voice of the Lord your God or be careful to do all his commandments." Here we are again. Do all of his commandments. Don't miss even one single commandment. And if you do, cursed. That's who's cursed. Let's say by some miracle, and it's never happened, and it will never happen. It hadn't happened for you or me. But let's say somehow you found a way to obey all of the external laws of God, all of His external standards. Listen to verse 47. Deuteronomy 20, verse 47. It says, because you did not serve the Lord your God with joyfulness and gladness of heart because of the abundance of all things. Did you catch that? Cursed. Why? Even if you happen to obey the external commands, you didn't do it with the right heart. No gladness of heart, no joyfulness to obey your God. And even that standard, think about it. No humans met up to it. So who must come under the curse? All those who have disobeyed God's word. So if you ignore God and you rebel against Him, it says cursed. If you try really hard to be good and obey and earn this blessing, cursed. You rely on yourself, you look to the world, cursed. You rely on the works of the law, cursed. What's our only hope? Christ Jesus was the only one that could step up before the standard of that law and walk away blessed. And Galatians 3:13 says, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. Please don't read that. Don't listen to that verse lightly. I mean, I'm laboring here to help you see Deuteronomy 28 and see what it points to in eternity. Into the hell's even worse. The eternal curse is even worse than the curse on Israel here. I'm laboring to help you see it. So listen to me. Don't take this lightly. Christ Jesus redeemed us from the curse of the law. Why? How? How? By becoming the curse for us. You ever wonder, like he's headed to the cross. He's in the Garden of Gethsemane and he's sweating drops of blood. And he's saying, if there's any other way, and there's not any other way, if there's any other way, take this from me. Oh, Father, take this from me if there's any other way. Why would he say such a thing? You only understand it if you understand how horrible this curse is. And he takes the cup of cursing and he drinks it fully down so that wicked souls like us could be saved. So that those that deserve cursing could experience the blessing that Christ Jesus and Christ alone has earned. Christ Jesus has redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. I pray that verse would never feel common to you. Ever, ever, ever. I want to end our time with a responsive reading. Now, I would argue that we're not very good as an amen in church, so we're about to practice. When I say responsive reading, I mean a statement is read, and there's some sort of response from the congregation. Something's read, and there's a response from the congregation. Now, we saw a responsive reading in Deuteronomy 27, remember? Half the tribes on Mount Ebal, half the tribes on Mount Gerizim. The Levites are in the valley. They're screaming out, cursed is the one that does this. And what's the response from the people? Amen. Do it again. Cursed is the one. The response from Mount Ebal. Amen. Cursed is the one who does not obey all the words of this law. And that was the last one. And you get a resounding amen. Now, there's an interesting observation as you study through that carefully, okay? It seems like there's a really clear command of the exact words that should be spoken in the responsive reading with the curse. Say that, you know, go back to Deuteronomy 27. Say it like this, curse be the one, and y'all say, there's really direct words there, okay, really direct instruction. But it's interesting that there's no command to do this, at least not the technical exactly what to say for blessing. In other words, we don't read anything that says, okay, now Levites, say this, blessed be the one. We don't get that in Deuteronomy 27, 28. And the question I was thinking about is, why is that? Why do we get the instruction for the cursings but not the blessings? And here's what we know. Here's what we know for sure. We know that the curses dominate this section, right? Not just in that we're not given a responsive reading for the blessings directly, But just in the amount of time that's spent on the curses instead of on the blessings. I mean, the curses dominate this section of Scripture. And I believe this insinuates the inevitability of Israel being cursed. Go read Deuteronomy 31, verse 29. Moses knows. I mean, all of this is being laid out for them in a way that says, you're going to be cursed. It's coming. The inevitability of Israel's curse. We also know that this emphasis on the curse, it teaches us something about all humans, not just Israel, but all humans. We are all prone to wonder. You understand, when it says, I set something before you today, it's not like that we stand there in a neutral position going, which one will we choose, the road of cursing or the road of blessing? We've already chosen the road of cursing. We need to be rescued from it, plucked from the fire. All of us are prone to wonder. And so it's almost as if in this text, especially Deuteronomy 27, we're given the details for the responsive reading for the curses, but it kind of holds off on the responsive reading for the blessings. You know, that'll come later. Maybe after Christ has come, died for sinners, taken our curse, risen from the dead. And then what do you read in Revelation chapter 5? You read, worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and glory. And what do all the hosts of heaven say? Amen. It's almost like the blessings were saved till later. So I want us to close with that, with a responsive reading of blessing. In light of the gospel, in light of Christ who's become a curse for us, in light of that little glimpse into heaven in Revelation 5, amen. In light of all those things, a responsive reading of blessing. So just like the curses of Deuteronomy 27 were read out, I'm going to read out blessings that are found in Christ. I'm going to read them. Blessings that are found in Christ. And you have a chance to worship God with a resounding, hearty amen. Amen for His glory. I'm going to read it, and you get a chance to worship with amen, and we'll close with this. Blessed be anyone who relies not on the works of the law, but relies on Jesus. Amen. Blessed be anyone who trusts not in his own obedience, but in the obedient one. Amen. Blessed be anyone whose lawless deeds are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed be anyone against whom the Lord will not count sin. Amen. Blessed be anyone who has Jesus as Savior. Amen. Blessed be anyone who's been redeemed from the curse of the law because Jesus became our curse. Amen. Blessed be anyone who's been justified because Jesus is your righteousness. Blessed be anyone who's been chosen because of the love of God in Christ. Amen. Blessed be anyone who's been adopted as a child of God because of the work of Jesus. Amen. And lastly, blessed be anyone who will sing in heaven, worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and might and honor and glory and blessing. Amen. Amen. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for your word. Thank you, God, that we can dwell on these things. And God, thank you for the rescue from the curse. God, our wicked world, Lord, can read those things and shout unfair. And God, thank you. Thank you for light. Thank you for giving us the wisdom to know better. That we deserve far worse than what we read in Deuteronomy 28. But you have shown mercy in Christ. You've shown grace in Christ. Thank you for our Savior. Thank you for redemption, rescue from the curse of the law. We honor, we lift up, we glorify Christ. Lord, I pray that you'd help us to do it more and more. That we would serve you with rejoicing and joy in our souls because of the abundance of all things. Thank you, Lord. We love you in Jesus' name. Amen.